B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Message over the last couple of days to the team has felt rebounding from uncharacteristic play with all the turnovers and penalties.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into all the things I go through with the team. Obviously, we need to do better, so.
So there's your guy, Mads, not going to get into everything he tells the team now.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into all the things I go through with the team.
Jesus. Hour number two, Felger and Mads. I was off yesterday, and I was listening to a portion of the program, Mads, when I think you said something along the lines of, I know this drives Felger crazy, but I just don't have faith in Belichick going forward with this team.
Yes.
It was something along those lines.
No, it was almost verbatim. Okay. I said, Felger gives me crap for this.
Why? Okay, so that's a part of the comment that bothered me.
Oh.
Why do I give you crap for that?
Because maybe I might have dramatized
Thank
it a little.
You. Thank you.
Okay, I may have dramatized it because I think there is this sense, and you know, among you and among others, that Bill's resume is impeccable and he's still a great coach. And he is. Okay, he is.
I don't know that he is.
But I don't look at him the same way anymore. I don't.
Neither do I.
Okay, so then maybe we're more on the same page than I thought we were.
Because that's what I'm like, I don't know where you're getting this from. To me, I went into last year Bill over Brady. I got to pick a side, right? Jimmy won't let us get away with not picking a side on that. So 51-49, whatever, that whole thing, pick a side. So I picked Bill.
So much so that you thought he'd win 10 games with Brian Hoyer.
Right, so then I went all in. All right, I reached. Okay, I reached on that one. Thank you for bringing it back up. It's been a whole 45 seconds since someone's mentioned that.
Two more years.
So it's like, so yes, I picked a side, but I'm not that guy that, you know, has the scoreboard showing my side losing and saying I'm still right. I'm not that kind of a-hole. No. Last year showed me that I was wrong. It wasn't Bill over Brady. And I'm looking at Bill differently, too. I don't have as much faith in him as I used to. 100%. So I don't, like, I'm not fighting you on that at all. It doesn't drive me crazy at all. That, to me, that's the show. That's the show for the next year or two. Can Bill win without Brady? Can he show what he is without Brady? Was he ever good enough to do it? And almost a second question. You know, he's not in his prime either. Or is he not in it? Has he slipped? And do you say, well, at his age, can he win without Brady? If this had happened 15 years ago, if Brady walked out the door 15 years ago, when Bill is still, for lack of a you know, worst cliche, firing on all cylinders and more in his prime.
Yeah, let's say he's got three titles instead of six.
He's in the middle of his run, and Brady leaves out the door. And in his 50s, can he retool the team and get back on top? That's a lot different than saying he's got six in the bank, he actually counts eight, and now he's 70, and wants to spend more time on the float in Barbados, and can he do it at this time? Can he? Those are almost two separate things, but I think both are not only a fair question to ask, it's the question to ask.
Necessary question to ask. And so, look, again, then maybe we're closer to on the same page than I thought we were.
I mean, it doesn't drive me nuts. I want to do this every hour, every day for the next 2 years.
Okay, so my assessment of it yesterday was, tell me the last time. And it's the game on Sunday that triggered this last part of it, okay? Because, again, they didn't look ready to go. I mean, compared to Miami, Miami game plan, Miami was more prepared, Miami was ready.
They had your plays.
Keep going. So I look at all of that, and I felt like the Patriots were conservative, like they were starting all over again. And then, you know, Bedard comes in, and we start talking about, well, you get all these new players. And then I start thinking about it, and I say, well, wait. So Bill's got a rookie quarterback. A bunch of free agents that he brought in who don't know anything about the way that he has done things over the last 20 years. A bunch of draft picks other than the quarterback who just got here in some bad draft classes before that. He may be facing a bigger challenge right now than he faced in 2000, for crying out loud, because at least Brady was a backup back then in his first year on the job. And so, or it's akin to that anyway. It's literally starting almost at ground zero. The obvious difference is he's 69 now. He's not 48.
So the question, do you have less faith in Bill? I mean, I think you have to. I do.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. I think I do. Most everyone does. Less faith. Okay. So when I say it to you like that, less faith. I think you have to have less faith. Do you have no faith?
No, I wouldn't say zero. No, that's way too low. I mean, you know, if you ask me to put a number on it relative to where it was, 70%, 75? I'm just throwing a number out there.
It's still high.
Okay, so look, I guess I think the guy's a good coach, and I think he's smart enough to know what he can get away with and what he can't. What I'm worried about, though, is the magnitude of the task in tandem with his age and energy. So if he's, you know, if he's delegating now more to assistants, I'm not sure I want that.
You can't have no faith after last year. Again, look at that roster. The fact they won 7 games with that wretched roster and that terrible quarterback is a minor miracle that they went 7-9.
Yeah,
all that institutional knowledge, being around the game for close to 50 years, how all that gets lesser coaches to crap their pants on the other sideline, you still have to have faith in him. But it's less. It's definitely less.
Yeah, I don't feel as good about last year as everyone else does. I mean, I didn't think they were very good. And you want to say, well, they get 7 wins out of it. You know what my answer to that is? 2 of them were against the Jets, for crying out loud. So 5-9 against everyone else.
So Buffalo was 11-5, not 13-3.
Well, no, I don't give them losses.
I know. Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they'd be 11-3.
Now, you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Are you taking away wins from every team that beat the Jets?
Yes.
Okay.
My point is, I don't know how much they overachieved.
I just think that's silly. But that's a small.
Okay. No, so it probably is. So, and I'm probably being unfair to Bill. But I would say that, you know, this task.
No, you're not being unfair to Bill.
I'm talking about last year.
Yeah. And just the wins over the Jets not counting. I mean, you have to take him away from every team in the league if that's what you're doing. The point is, you have to have less faith. You have to have less faith in him just simply by his decision to have Cam Newton be the guy. Cam Newton was such a bad fit on so many levels. And that was his call. And then he did it again. He brought him back. I don't know how you have the same amount of faith in Bill as a decision maker on anything, coaching or personnel wise, if that's, you know, that just start and end there.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can't. So it's just there's been too much negative in the last, you know, call it whatever, 18 months to feel the same way about him.
Yeah, the personnel, the poor personnel decisions, the nepotism, the delegating, like there's real negatives here now.
You know, again, the game on Sunday, if it is true that they have to build this whole culture again. Okay, he's 69 years old, Mike. He's 69. That's what they're going to do from ground zero? And here's the other thing. The schedule was favorable or is favorable in the early part of the year. So if you're going through this reconstruction, well, then you don't have all the advantages over some of these teams that we thought you did. And instead of being 7-2, maybe you're 4-3. Or, you know, whatever.
I mean, it's
unless you're playing the Jets, then we're going to take away 2 of those and give them to someone else. It really doesn't add up. But go ahead. I got you.
Okay. You know what I mean. Yep. You're 5-4.
I understand.
Okay. So I'm a little worried right now. I'm a little worried about the whole thing. And in the long term, do I like Mac Jones? Yes.
You should be.
But 2021, what are they going to be? And what's this thing going to look like? I don't know. I'm a little worried about it.
I mean, what was Shula at the end? Wasn't he just sort of along for the ride at the end?
Pretty much.
I mean, was Shula installing the Shula thing and the Shula ethos and the, you know, the all that? And, you know, Shula used to have it. He used to be a real disciplinarian, too, and a real taskmaster. And his teams from the Colts to the early Dolphins were disciplined and tightly run and all of that. Like, that was the calling card.
Oh, he was a hard ass.
Of Shula's. Yeah, he was an absolute hard ass. And by the end, it was like he was just sort of along for the, I mean, he wasn't instilling the Shula thing at the end. He was older than rope. It was, you know, and
how about Parcells and Jimmy Johnson at the end?
Sure. I mean, Jimmy Johnson never got it back after leaving Dallas. Parcells, I think, definitely slowed down. I think that's absolutely fair. Tom Landry was a, you know.
Yeah, right.
Borderline useless.
Yeah, he completely lost it.
You know, at the end.
Shula, incredibly, was 9-7 in his last season. And the year before that, 10-6, and then 9-7 again.
And any clue why? Hey, damn Marino. Marino might have helped. And that was in an era when the division still sucked, but you were part of the suck. Like, they were the only good team. But either way, this is beyond fair. I don't know how you would have, do any of you have the same faith in Bill that you would have had 10, 15 years ago?
Nope.
How's that possible? How could you? How could anyone have this?
I don't think he could.
How can we have the same amount of faith?
No, and it goes back to something I mentioned. Like, it's not just the age, it's the nepotism. All these kids around, these Bobos that Matt Patricia's around and in the room for major decisions. Ugh.
Okay, yeah. So then the question is, how much less faith? Is there no faith out there? Because I'm not in that camp. So I'm rooting for him to answer. I'm rooting for him to bring it back. I think he can. I think he will. But you can tell there's hesitation in my voice. And I'm less sure of it now than I was a year ago, or for sure than I would have been 3 years ago or whatever. I'm much less sure of it. And this is what I think makes this year so fascinating. Part of it, I mean, it's can he answer? Can he still do it? Or is he going to be more like Shula and these guys at the end who were just sort of hanging on along for the ride and at the mercy of the talent on their roster but really weren't instilling anything or dictating anything? Shula wasn't dictating anything by the time he was done. He was purely along for the ride and sort of reputation of Don Shula. And, you know, I don't remember the last bit of coaching brilliance I saw from Don Shula was the hook and lateral against the San Diego Chargers in the 81 divisional play, whenever that was. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a great play.
You know what I mean? Like,
great play.
When Shula took David Woodley or Don Strock to the Super Bowl, it was just before Marino got there. Like, that's the last time I remember thinking of Shula like, wow. Then Marino got there, and it was the Marino show. And Shula could never get Marino to actually conform. They were always battling each other about, you know, running too much or handing off, blah, 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 whatever. You don't need more on Shula. But where's Bill? Where's Bill in all this? Is he going to be different than that? Oh, you're right to have lost faith. That doesn't drive me nuts at all. No, that's what I want to talk about, and that's what I want to see Bill prove or disprove.
Well, then I think we're both going to enjoy the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to the show. That's what it is. Your thoughts on it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you see a lot of mobile quarterbacks who can make unscripted throws in the league now with regularity. In Zach Wilson's case, you watched him in Davis connect. You saw him in college. How dangerous is that aspect of his game, or if he gets out of the pocket, his ability to throw that pitch?
Yeah, out of the pocket, in the pocket. Yeah, that's the unpredictability that comes with players like that. That, you know, you have things under control, you have the pattern covered, and then something happens and they make a big play. So they can turn plays that don't start good into explosive plays offensively, and that's, you know, a big challenge for us to, you know, play every play all the way through, finish the plays, and, you know, compete for the entire down. But, yeah, it's definitely – he puts a lot of pressure on you, and, you know, so does the offense.
Belichick yesterday on the unpredictability of Zach Wilson. You also played this a couple times yesterday, Maz. What stood out to you about that comment?
So, the the matchup here with Zach Wilson, to me, should be a layup. It should be a layup. This game, you've got a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. So it's not just a rookie quarterback. Like, we had some numbers yesterday, Mike, and I don't know if you heard these, so forgive me if we're repeating them. Bill is 21-6 against rookie quarterbacks. Okay? 15-0 at home, 6-6 on the road.
Wow.
Okay? So now, obviously, they're going to be on the road this week. I also think there is a mobility element to Zach Wilson's game, and sometimes the Patriots have a little bit of trouble with these sorts of guys. They play zone. They want the defensive backs facing the line of scrimmage. They don't want to turn their back on the quarterback. And yet I look at it and I say, oh, it's Zach Wilson, for crying out loud. It's his second game in the league, and they got a rookie coach on top of it. And, you know, I would love to see the combo of the two, how Bill has done against that.
Well, in that exact same spot I mentioned in 2009, week two at the New York Jets, rookie head coach and Rex Ryan, rookie quarterback and Mark Sanchez. They lost.
So, but this game should be a layup for them. It should be a layup for Bill. you know, he should be able to look at this team and say, here's how we're going to beat them, and they can't score if we do this. It should be that simple. But after the game plan on Sunday and the way the Dolphins, you know, complete a 13-yard pass on first and 14 and go down the field on possessions to start both halves and finish the first half with a scoring possession, my faith is shaken. This is sort of what I'm getting at. This, I wouldn't give this game a second thought under normal circumstances.
Oh, no, I'm rethinking it too, for sure. This is no layup.
But I this game would have been a slam dunk in my mind. Would have been, and it should be. But I can't go into this game feeling like it is, because I worry about where this is all going now.
Right, back to your phones, as promised. Brian in Boston. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, boys. Quick point. I know you were talking earlier about Mac Jones, and at least you said it, Tony. If he plays this way the rest of the year, then it's not good enough. While I agree with that, isn't this exactly what Bill says or thinks that he can win with? I mean, you had that comment that came out about them winning with any of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league, give me a game manager.
Yes.
Well, if he continues to play just like this, I mean, you know, one touchdown, no picks. Isn't that game managing to a T? I mean, you kind of want him taking some more shots or throwing picks, because then you got the rookie excuse. So if these numbers continue, I think it starts to look a little poorly on Bill here.
Okay, good point. When you say there's two different things, would Bill take that performance everywhere? Yeah, that's how I think Bill drew it up. I think they went into this game saying, let's win 19-17.
Right, don't lose it for us.
Take care of the ball. Don't lose it. We'll kick field goals and play defense and pull it out at the end because they'll do something stupid. Like, I think that, and I bet Bill doesn't look at that as the wrong game plan. I think Bill probably looks at it and goes, yeah, the a-hole fumbled with 3 minutes left. Otherwise, we were going to walk away with a win. So Bill doesn't look at it the wrong game plan. Where I look at it and say, well, if you put 30 on the board, Tua's not going to match that. And you could have played to do that, too. You could have not played for field goals. You could have not played for 14 play drives. Could have taken some shots at the end zone and put some points on the board and make Tua chase you that way. So, like, I don't think Bill thinks it was the wrong game plan. He thinks his player let him down, the running back.
Oh, probably. Again, as always, Bill will blame everyone but himself. He won't necessarily look at himself as being the problem. But, you know, the easy comparison is to make is, well, this is how they did it in the early 2000s. Okay, the quarterback managed the game. Who was on his defense then? Like, if we go back and really...
Right, how many Hall of Famers?
He had Hall of Famers on that defense.
There's also something I don't know if he wants to hear or you want to hear it, folks. You caught some good breaks that year, too, now. You want to go back and relive it. Pretty much every loose ball bounced your way. You had guys getting knocked out cold along the sidelines, maintaining possession, the David Patton play, because his head was touching the end line and his foot was touching the ball, and it was like some weird rule that you didn't even think about. You maintain possession. You won a handful of games where it's like, I mean, that one could have gone either way, folks. All the way up to the Snow Bowl against the Raiders and all of this. So, like, that, great story and all of that, and we all know that they validated it with future championships. But I wouldn't try and win championships that way, hanging on by the skin of my teeth every single week. But I think, I don't know, maybe they got duped into thinking that, too, with Mac. This is how we're going to have to win with Mac Jones. And I don't even know if you can do it in this day and age.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've made the point, too, the league's different.
You have to score more points now. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So, you know, there's that old adage that says if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is. But in this case, I do think that the kid is genuine. I mean, that's my impression. But I also agree with what Maz said in the beginning, which is it's easy to be humble when you haven't accomplished anything. So let's see how it goes. But also moving forward, I was hoping that we would see a little bit more interesting play calling from Josh McDaniels. I don't know what you think about it. I mean, we talk a lot about Bill Belichick, and rightly so. But I also think that Josh should be on the hot seat. I didn't see anything special from him.
Okay, Mary, thanks for the call. I think the whole mindset of we're going to win 19-17 comes from Bill. And then Josh calls the plays accordingly. If Bill, you know, Bill goes into the game and says, Josh, you know, we're going to need 35 in this one. And then Josh, you know, does the game plan accordingly. Bill comes in and says, this one, we just play defense and play smart and take care of the ball and hold it. We're going to beat him. And so, like, so I don't blame Josh for the conservative play calling us. So I think that came from up top.
Oh, what offensive coordinator goes into a game saying all we need is 18?
No, right, exactly. Good point.
Right? I mean, he wants to score.
Right.
So I think it totally came from Bill. And again, this comes back to, so you had the confidence that you were going to be able to smother Tua, and yet they went down the field on you twice with, you know, long drives, 10 and 9 play drives, where they barely got to third down on either one. And then with the game on the line, you had them first and 14 inside their 10-yard line to give up 13 yards on first down. And then they ran three straight times and killed the clock. So, I mean, again, I look at Bill and say, okay, I had faith in him going into the Miami game. Now they're going into the Jets. Am I supposed to think the same thing?
Nope. I don't know how you could. Nate in the truck. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. What do you got?
I think, honestly, if you think about it, I don't have any faith in Bill, because looking at these, you know, these past, you know, 5-6 years, I mean, Brady and Gronk seen it all along. You know what I mean? They weren't sticking around. I think the game's passing by Bill, if you look at it, right, with all these drafts being N'Keal Harry bust to the, you know, Joakim Williams to, you know, all these players. Now, go back to what Maz was saying in the early 2000s. He had the draft, right? He built it upon the draft. That's why he had all those championships, you know what I mean, through those years. He's lost it. He can't draft. He can't put these teams together.
Okay, so Nate,
you can't buy a team.
Nate, so you're at no faith. Would you rather have Brian Flores? If you were starting over with an NFL franchise right now, who would you want to be your head coach, Brian Flores or Bill Belichick?
I would have Brian Flores, because how old is he? And look at Bill, right? You guys named out all those coaches at the end of their careers. How did they end at the end of their careers?
Let me ask you. You're starting over right now. You're the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you could have Bill Belichick or Brian Flores. Who do you want?
I lean Flores.
I do, too. And I said yesterday initially Belichick, but now that I thought about it, the age that he'd want to have it completely his way. And I don't blame him at this point in his career. He's earned that. But that means his kids are around and Patricia again and all these Bobos and how much you really work you're going to be putting in. You're going to be delegating like it is here. The age is a factor. I'm sorry to sound like an ageist. I think I go Flores or one of these younger guys.
Well, no, but it's not just the age. You brought in the whole...
Yeah, because all that comes with that.
His crew.
Because of the age, he will be delegating. He's not going to be living, sleeping, eating, breathing the job like he did 15, 20 years ago.
I'm still going to go Belichick there, but it's not an unreasonable thing to say Brian Flores.
I mean, I like Flores. Okay, now if you ask me...
Belichick or Sean McDermott?
Bill.
Over McDermott? You like Flores better than McDermott?
I don't love McDermott.
He's too much a red ass for me.
Well, he's already proven. He's already had a playoff team a couple... Has he made the playoffs 2 straight years or one? Either way, whatever.
If you say to me McVay, I'll take McVay. McDermott? I don't like McDermott. There's something about McDermott I don't like, and I don't know what it is. I you know, feels to me like that team's going to come apart. And so they built a nice little thing there in a couple of years, but there's something about McDermott I don't like. And I don't know if it's, like, I'd have to look this up, but they feel a little undisciplined to me. The quarterback feels like he makes big mistakes in bad spots.
If you were starting over from scratch, would you bring in Matt LaFleur or Bill Belichick?
Oh, but Belichick.
I hate LaFleur.
Get out of my face with him.
13-3, 13-3, 2 straight NFC title games.
The quarterback.
Yeah, I don't love LaFleur. I don't love LaFleur. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I don't.
No,
love
no,
him
no.
Either.
I know.
I'm just telling. Like,
I know what you're saying.
And he's got plenty of room to grow. He's just a kid.
I mean, you say Vrabel or Belichick? Vrabel. Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't take Bill? You'd take Bill over Vrabel?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'd take Vrabel. I would absolutely.
That thing's gonna
take
fall
Vrabel.
Apart this year.
Okay. So I just think
age, energy,
tractor.
Something to prove. You know.
Yes. Yeah, and the other thing is, like,
I say something to prove. I think Bill has something to prove vis-a-vis Brady, but it's not like he needs to prove he's an NFL coach or something like that. I mean, these other guys still need to establish that they're legit NFL coaches.
Right, that's the thing. Some of these, the rest of the field, like, a lot to be desired there.
Yeah, look, again, it's hard to say that because of the name. Like, instinctively, you would say, who would you rather have, Belichick or? And then before you even answer, the answer should be Belichick.
Andy Reid or Bill Belichick? Starting over right now from scratch.
Oh, Reid. Reid.
He's won one championship.
I don't care.
I like him better with a young quarterback.
I also like the fact that he's offensive, and I think it's an offensive league now.
Yeah.
And so I know Reid won with Andy, what's his name? Smith.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. Smith. So
you guys okay today? Forgetting names, having brain freezes.
It's a quasi-Monday for me.
Well, me too, because we're starting over.
Yeah.
So, look, again, I don't have a ton of faith like I used to. I'm worried about where this is going. He's 69. He's nice. 69. He brought in.
And you'd still rather have him than you. You must hate this McDermott kid.
I don't like McDermott. It's something about McDermott I don't like. I don't know what it is. They feel undisciplined to me. They still feel like the Bills. And they get into big spots and still suck
sometimes. Bill Belichick or Kyle Shanahan?
Bill. I hate Shanahan.
Yeah, so
I can't stand Shanahan.
Offensive quarterback coach.
Yeah, but he's a tool bag. He's a tool bag.
And what's Bill? What's William Richard Belichick?
He's an accomplished tool bag.
Yeah, right.
Flores is a tough one.
I like him. If you'd have told me we could still have Brady, Gronk, and Flores here and kick Bill out, I take Flores, Brady, and Gronk.
Go ahead, ask me.
So, yeah.
No.
Flores or Bill?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bruce Arians or Bill.
Oh, Bruce Arians or Bill. God.
Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, but, I mean, that's a good one, Murray. Trade Bill for Flores and give us back Brady and Gronkowski. How do you think you're going to be?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you're going to be great.
And is Josh still the offensive coordinator and, like...
No, whatever Brady wants. He wants to... whoever Brady's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Brady
would
fire Josh.
I would say make Brady the coach.
So there you go. All right, we can mine that topic right up for Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, your faith in Belichick. Turning this thing back around to true championship contention. You have the same level of faith? How could you? It's got to be less, right? How much less? Do you have no faith? It's not that bad, is it? Bob and Needham, bring us back. What do you got?
Hey, Mike, are you guys insane? Let me get this straight. Arians is older. Pete Carroll's older. They're still doing that at a high level. You guys told me Tony La Russa was a total joke. Why would you hire 77? Well, they breezed to the division title, didn't they? So it's not about age. It's always been about the players. It's Jimmy's and the Joes. It's give anyone Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be a good coach.
Well,
let's face it.
Okay, so you put Pete Carroll up there as, you know, an example of getting it done at his age. What's he getting done? They're winning regular season games behind a great quarterback and then getting to the playoffs and getting smoked. So what are you talking about?
I tell you, at this stage, I have my questions about Pete, and I would call him an energetic 70-year-old, however old he is.
100%. He's older than Bill, if you can believe it.
Right.
And Pete's in great shape, you know, and he still has that, you know, that just that ludicrous energy, ridiculous, hyperactive.
Like a puppy.
Yeah, like, and I mean, not in a good way, but either way, what's Pete Carroll getting done? Pete Carroll's calling card used to be defense and attacking aggressive defense. They haven't had a good defense there in like 5 years.
I was going to say, and how was their defense last year?
No, last year was like kind of a borderline disaster.
They went on quarterback play is what they do. So, like, I don't know. I'm not looking. If I'm a Seattle fan, I'm asking the same questions about Pete Carroll, frankly.
Yes, that's why I say I have my doubts there, too. I just think to do that job at the level we've seen over the last 20 years, A, you have to be obviously unique and talented, but B, you got to be a little bit of a psycho.
So the old guys he mentioned. So Pete Carroll, I'm not going to give you. I don't think he's doing great things at his age. I think he's doing what's expected, which is winning regular season games behind a great quarterback. But what else do they got? Okay, so scratch him. Bruce Arians? Is it about the coach down there? Or
no,
we're gonna, quarterback.
Okay, so point. And Andy Reid. I mean, again.
But as I said, he won and put up a ton of points with Alex Smith. He did. So all I'm saying is, and I know Reed's old. I mean, if I'm completely starting from the ground up, I don't know if I'm taking Reed either. But if you want to bring along a young quarterback.
And you want to talk about family baggage, Mark.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, you know, his kids.
The nepotism stuff with Andy Reid's gross.
And those guys are dangerous. You know, never mind incompetent or whatever we worry about here.
But Maz's point to it being an offensive-driven league and how he's the quarterback whisperer, and not just Alex Smith. Look at the reclamation project when he did work with Mike Vick that second time around 10 years ago. Like, he's done ridiculous stuff with quarterbacks.
He's a great offensive mind.
Okay. You do remember him in the fourth quarter of close games. Can't have it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, again, I mean, how good were the Patriots in situational play last year with Bill?
So all these old guys, I'm taking Bill over these old guys. Now, you want to give me a young guy, you know, Flores, I think, is a good one to bring up. McVay, for sure, I think is legit. I do. I think McVay's good.
Watch what happens with Stafford this year with him. You can already see it. They are now becoming my pick for the Super Bowl. But anyway, go ahead.
You go ahead, Matt and Malden. You're up next.
Hey, one quick point and one question. My quick point, Max team first attitude. I think that's GM Belichick doing early investment to get his head on for conditioned for a team friendly haircut 3 years down the line when it's time for the negotiation like Tommy used to give him. But my question is, you know, when it comes to the theme of the next guy with defensive slotted for that, unless he gets wooed away while Steve Belichick is painting by numbers and the Bobos are breathing down his neck.
I missed the first part. Did you say about Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, Gerard Mayo being the next guy for defensive coordinator unless he gets wooed away while Steve Belichick is painting by numbers.
Right, exactly. That's a concern. Mayo might be the talented guy on that staff, and you'd never know it because they're splitting it with Steve, and there's all that awkwardness. And, you know, you just don't know when it's the coach's kid. You just don't know.
No, and maybe this is the way Bill's setting it up, too, now that the caller said it. Maybe his whole idea is, well, I have Mayo there, but someone's going to pluck him because they're not going to pluck Steven. So, you know, he gets plucked, and then I can elevate him. And when people say, well, how do I elevate your kid? Say, well, Mayo was in line, but someone took him.
That first thing about the team player thing with Mac Jones, that's Belichick, you know, planting his seed in Mac Jones' head. I think Mac Jones was pre-programmed at Alabama, and all the stuff we're learning about him, the team psychologist at Alabama and what his father instilled in him at a young age when he got too selfish with tennis or whatever it was. Like, I think this all comes ready-made for Belichick. He doesn't have to do much work on this. This guy's just what he wants him to be in that regard. He came out of the package like this is what I'm saying. But the rubber will meet the road if the kid wants to get paid. Because Brady was, you know, always took what they gave him until the very end, right? If Mac Jones is different on the money, let's see what happens then. But that's sort of down the road.
Yeah.
That'd be something, though.
Bill might be gone by then, right? It'd have to be year four.
Oh, but
five.
The guys writing the checks will still be here. You think that's all Bill?
Okay, so no, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. But Crafts did pay Bledsoe.
They said, we're never doing that again, right? They learned their lesson on that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mez.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
74.4% completion percentage, best all time for a rookie starter in their debut. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of... Bill Belichick went out, and he spent a whole lot of money,
right?
In free agency, we all know a couple hundred, $100 million, whatever, here or there. Well, their receivers, they had 14 catches for 162 yards and a touchdown from their free agent signings. That's a big thing when you're a team and you get to see your upper division go out and sign players to make you guys rebuild and get better. When you see the actual proof in the pudding and the production.
Oh, that's what you want.
I mean, that's what you really want.
So would you tell the Patriots fans to chill? This is going to be okay. Don't panic?
Of course. I mean, they've had some very uncharacteristic type plays. Mm-hmm. They had 8 penalties for 86 yards. They turned the ball over twice in the game, which there's a premium for keeping the ball in your hand in New England. I remember Bill Belichick used to say, when you are carrying the football, you're not only carrying the football for the team, everyone in the building, but you're carrying it for everyone in the region. The fate is in your
hands. Wow, the world.
You're right.
Hey, but
that's Julian Edelman's Inside the NFL program there. The takeaway I had there is that his whole tone is, yeah, it's Bill Belichick. They're going to figure it out. They're the Patriots, and he's Bill Belichick. And again, he didn't say that word for word, but don't think that's the gist of his answer?
Yeah, the insinuation, yeah.
Do you feel that way anymore?
No.
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 Not really.
No, and honestly, look, I mean, I think if you give him enough time, will it happen? Sure. Yeah. Well, but again.
And I'm sorry to cut you off. Like, if I had to bet it, yes, I think Bill will figure it out. I think they will get it turned around. But I don't have this feeling like Edelman, I think, is portraying there. Like, yeah, man, it's Belichick. They're the Patriots. Of course they're going to figure it out. Like, yeah, they'll just... they'll instill the culture and it all straighten out because Bill will coach them out of it and they'll be right back there like they always are. That's his whole tone, and I don't have that feeling.
I don't either, because I don't think it's that simple anymore. And again, I add in the turnover on the roster because I think this is a big part of it, Mike. This is going to take time. I mean, you have totally new players here. It's not like he's had these guys in the operation for 3 years and now they're ready to make a jump. That's not what it is. They're starting at ground zero with Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor. And that's if these guys even get it. I mean, what's his history in free agency?
What's the trend of the team, even at the end of the Brady era? They've stopped winning close games. We've given you this number. They've only won 4 of their last 13 one-possession games. Going back to Brady, Brady's last 5 one-possession games, they were 1-4. And they're 3-5 since with Cam Newton and now Mac Jones. And they lost a game on Sunday like they lost a lot last year and the year before with Tom Brady. So it's like that thing is kind of gone, and it's been gone for longer than maybe you want to appreciate. You haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, I don't know, you just, they have to start over in terms of instilling that winning culture, that knack of always doing the right thing at the right time and pulling these games out. That used to be routine. I think that's over. They got to rebuild that thing.
Yeah, and this is the part that concerns me. And if you were to say to me, well, how long are we talking about here? You want to say, well, 3 years. Well, Bill will figure it out in 3 years.
I'm not giving him 3 years.
No, no, but I'm not either. This is he's 70 almost. He's 69. So you have all these new pieces now, and if they're going to go through the same sort of transition in terms of building that culture that a typical team would, if they're starting at ground zero with new draft picks and new free agents, I don't know that Bill has the energy to put in all the necessary stuff right now and have results in 6 weeks.
If I had to guess, you get 3 more years with him. That'll round it out to 50 years in the NFL. So 3 more with
him. And if he wins at a high level, he catches Shula in 3 years. We've done the math.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have to win a couple playoff games. But if he can do 12 wins a year, including playoffs over the next 3, he catches Shula. And I think beats him by 1, right? And wasn't that the math?
Yes. But that requires, would you say, 11 or 12 wins a year?
Yeah. And, well, including playoffs. I think he needs 12 a year.
Yes. So
I think he's 35 behind. Okay. So to get to 36, I think he needs 36 to pass him.
What if this year they go 7-10 or 8-9?
I mean, then it's 4 years. Man, it's going to take him a while. It's going to take him a whole nother year.
So now I will feel better about them going into next year in some way and like, okay, well, some of these guys now get it or they've had it instilled and maybe they'll make a jump.
If they finish 8-9?
I'm just saying that at least you'll have guys in the second year of the operation. In other words, I'll see more continuity there.
I won't have any faith that they still can't figure it out this year. I just don't give Bill... I've talked about this a million times. This isn't a start over kind of thing. You know, they're not starting from the ground up like the Bengals or the Jaguars or one of these franchises. This is the whole thing, with the way it was reconstructed, was to hit the ground running and come right back. And that's what I expect. But either way, your faith in Bill Belichick. Sam in the car, go ahead.
Hey, guys, can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, so my faith in Bill Belichick, I really never had him only when Brady was here, if that makes sense, right? Do you go to the game to root for Belichick, the coach, or do you go to root for the player? So I've always been a Tom Brady or the name. I always go to the game. You don't see people running around in jerseys that say Belichick on it. That's why we go to these games, to see the players.
That's different. That's a different question, though. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's a different question. So, of course, you go to the game to see the players. But the point is, in terms of the way the operation ran, did you believe in the efficiency, the penalty-free, the turnover-free? That's the coach.
Well, yes, but it also comes down to the players. You have to have the players to do it. And we had the players over the years.
Okay, Sam.
I'd say the year with Matt Castle was kind of not so much it was kind of the aberration, because we still had a pretty solid team from
Sam,
the year before. The only thing that happened was...
So you don't have faith in any coach?
No, it's really the players.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, we could have done that in 10 seconds. You don't trust any of the coaches, which is fine. I think the coaching in that league blows. It's not a bad take. Just took you way too long to get there.
Right.
Okay, I think the coaching in that league is a real problem. Even the good ones, I think, kind of suck. And so, yep, if you want to say I don't have faith in any of those bozos, good one. Fair enough. We've got Daniel and Quincy. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, you should have asked that kid, what year is he talking about? 20, 21 years ago or last year, 2 years ago, whatever. I can't get into it. Anyways, listen, Felga, I don't have a problem with Belichick's philosophy of trying to win a game 19-17 against Miami with a rookie quarterback. You clean up the penalties and the turnovers, and you win the game, okay? If he can steal a few of those while preserving the body of his quarterback and letting the kid get his feet wet a little bit, I have no issue with that. Okay, what bothers me, and I'm coming around your way with the nepotism and the stench of Matt Patricia on defense. I should be happy the defense only gave up 17 points. And you hold a team under 20, you should be able to win that game. And I don't know if you agree with that or not, but also Matt McDaniels, he's another one. I mean, you know, this guy had a first and goal against Tennessee on the 1 yard line, 3 running plays. And no QB sneak with Brady because he wasn't going to sacrifice his body because he was already gone, okay? McDaniels needs to be held accountable. He sucks in the red zone. No imagination, no play-action rollout, no fake to the freaking quarterback and direct snaps like we used to have. All that crap is gone.
I'm with you, Dan. I think his play calling in the red zone was tight. Absolutely, he's on the list. Put him on the list. But this whole thing, like, again, your tone there. If you just clean up the turnovers and penalties, maybe get a few more stops on defense and win. You'll win a bunch of games like that. When is that going to happen again? Because you didn't do that all of last year, and you didn't do it the second half of the year before, and you didn't do it on Sunday. So, like, that's what I've sort of lost. Like, that thing, like, oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, they're not going to have those kind of penalties and turnovers all season long, and they'll get the stops on defense. Really? Because that didn't happen all of last year and the whole half year before that.
So the penalties got better last year as the year went along. But if you remember, they started out badly. And again, this comes back to the whole, you know, new players and the whole. So I look at that and say, well, then how long is that going to take? Because now you've reset the roster again. Now you have a different collection of players in here. They came out of the gate, 8 penalties, 4 fumbles. So what do they need? 4 to 6 weeks to learn that? Is that the deal? I always felt the Bill Belichick teams came out of the gate that way. Out of the gate, they didn't commit penalties and they fumbled the ball away. So now we have to learn that? And what are they going to be after 6 weeks?
All right, we're going to continue with this the rest of the day. You can call us at any time at 617-779-0985. We'll mix in another topic off the top of the next hour based on a Dan Shaughnessy column in the Boston Globe. He wrote something that we seem to discuss from time to time with this Red Sox team. It always comes up at various points, so it came up with Danny Boy overnight. Are you invested in this Red Sox team? Are you not invested? And if so, why not? That whole thing. We'll ask that question, give you our answers after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.